Arthur wasn't quite certain which he had noticed as being missing first. When he noticed that the one wasn't there, his mind instantly leapt to the other, and he knew immediately that they were both gone and that something insanely bad and difficult to deal with would happen as a result. Random was not there, and neither was the parcel. He had left it up on a shelf all day in plain view. It was an exercise in trust. He knew that one of the things he was supposed to do as a parent was to show trust in his child, to build a sense of trust and confidence into the bedrock of relationship between them. He had had a nasty feeling that that might be an idiotic thing to do, but he did it anyway, and sure enough, it had turned out to be an idiotic thing to do. You live and learn. At any rate, you live. You also panic. Arthur ran out of the hut. It was the middle of the evening. The light was getting dim and a storm was brewing. He could not see her anywhere, nor any sign of her. He asked. No one had seen her. He asked again. No one else had seen her. They were going home for the night. He found old Thrashbarg and asked him. Thrashbarg looked at him stonily and then pointed in the one direction that Arthur had dreaded and had therefore instinctively known was the way she would have gone. So now he knew the worst. She had gone where she thought he would not follow her. He looked up at the sky, which was sullen, streaked and livid, and reflected that it was the sort of sky that the four horsemen of the apocalypse wouldn't feel like a bunch of complete idiots riding out of. With a heavy sense of the utmost foreboding, he set off on the track that led to the forest in the next valley. The first heavy blobs of rain began to hit the ground as Arthur tried to drag himself to some sort of run. Random reached the crest of the hill and looked down into the next valley. She was a little worried that doing the trip at night was not that great an idea, but her father had been mooching around near the hut all day trying to pretend to either her or himself that he wasn't guarding the parcel. At last, he'd had to go over to the forge to talk with Strinder about the knives, and Random had seized her opportunity and done a runner with the parcel. It was perfectly clear that she couldn't just open the thing there, in the hut, or even in the village. He might have come across her at any moment, which meant that she had to go where she wouldn't be followed. She could stop where she was now. She had gone this way in the hope that he wouldn't follow her, and even if he did, he would never find her up in the wooded part of the hill with night drawing in and the rain starting. All the way up, the parcel had been jiggling under her arm. It was a satisfyingly hunky sort of thing, a box with a square top about the length of her forearm on each side, and about the length of her hand deep, wrapped up in brown plasper with an ingenious new form of self-knotting string. It didn't rattle as she shook it, but she sensed that its weight was concentrated excitingly at the centre. Having come so far, though, there was a certain satisfaction in not stopping here, but carrying on down into what seemed to be almost a forbidden area, where her father's ship had come down. She wasn't exactly certain what the word haunted meant, but it might be fun to find out. She would keep going and save the parcel up for when she got there. It was getting darker, though. She hadn't used her tiny electric torch yet, because she didn't want to be visible from a distance. She would have to use it now, but it probably didn't matter, since she would be on the other side of the hill which divided the valleys from each other. She turned her torch on. Almost at the same moment, a fork of lightning ripped across the valley into which she was heading, and startled her considerably. As the darkness shuddered back around her and a clap of thunder rolled out across the land, she felt suddenly rather small and lost, with just a feeble pencil of light bobbing in her hand. Perhaps she should stop after all and open the parcel here, or maybe she should go back and come out again tomorrow. It was only a momentary hesitation, though. She knew there was no going back tonight, and sensed that there was no going back ever. She headed on down the side of the hill. The rain was beginning to pick up now. Where a short while ago it had been a few heavy blobs, it was settling in for a good pour now, hissing in the trees, and the ground was getting slippery under her feet. At least, she thought it was the rain hissing in the trees. Shadows were leaping and leering at her as her light bobbed through the trees, onwards and downwards. She hurried on for another 10 or 15 minutes, soaked to the skin now and shivering, and gradually became aware that there seemed to be some other light somewhere ahead of her. It was very faint, and she wasn't certain if she was imagining it or not. She turned off her torch to see. There did seem to be some sort of dim glow ahead. She couldn't tell what it was. She turned her torch back on and continued down the hill towards whatever it was.